Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, deleting data, for example, from a computer is not always as straightforward as shredding paper. Every action a user takes leaves a digital footprint, which leaves them vulnerable to numerous risks and privacy concerns. These digital trails can be used against us, but can they be used for good? Now, digital forensics can help businesses better understand this. Also, why there have been so many damaging data breaches recently and how to mitigate those associated risks. For more insights, we speak to Ian Lim. He's Field Chief Security Officer, Asia Pacific at Palo Alto Networks. Ian, thanks for your time.
Howie, thanks for having me on Primetime.
So definitions are in order here. Digital forensics, what is that about? And how can it uncover trails of evidence and criminal behavior? Are you sort of the CSI of the computer world, so to speak?
Yes, actually, it's very accurate. Digital forensics, much like real-life forensics, is the ability to piece, you know, a story together after it's happened, right? So, you know, you mentioned earlier that everything we do on the computer leaves a digital footprint, and that's absolutely true. You know, we can see through our digital forensics tool the files that you've accessed, the programs that you've run, websites that you've visited, other computers you might be connected to after the fact. And so the forensics capabilities that we have allows us to really paint a picture and follow the breadcrumbs, right, to what happened before.
So obviously that would be a good thing to know what happened, how it happened, how you can then prevent it from happening again, right? Give us some examples. So CSI fans will know of Luminol and the powder to use to see fingerprints. And what are some of the techniques that digital forensics experts use to uncover those deleted and wiped data, for example?
Yes. So in the forensics process in the digital world, you know, the first thing that we do, unlike the real world, is we do a process called write blocking. And write blocking is the ability for us to copy forensically sound evidence onto a separate hard disk. You know, so you're not tampering or you're not creating a situation where you're leaving your own footprints when you're doing digital forensics work on the actual computer. So we do a write blocking, and then we do all our forensics work on this forensically sound hard disk. On the hard disk, we can basically recover everything that's been done on the drive. Now, the way that data is stored and saved on computers are really just pointers, right? So when someone deletes a file, they are deleting pointers. They're not actually deleting the file. So these data recovery tools have the ability to put together all these fragmented pieces so that we can see the actual file. Now, files can be overwritten and overwritten and overwritten again. So sometimes you get the whole file, and sometimes you get fragments of the file. But just because a file is deleted, or even if a hard disk is formatted, these tools are still able to pull all that up. Now, that said, you know, we don't just look at files, right? We look at, you know, RAM or random access memory. We look at processes, you know, that the computers run. We look at connections that the computers can connect it to so that we can put a much bigger picture together of what happened.
So Ian, obviously this comes in handy if you accidentally deleted something or wiped data that you still wanted, but give us an example of how this helps in the investigation process of a data breach.
Yes. So in the enterprise world, forensics are really used for two main reasons, right? You know, the first big reason and the most prevalent reasons that we have forensics team is to validate if a hacker has attacked us or if they're even still in our environment and actively working through our systems. So that's the first reason. The second reason is, you know, we use forensics to confirm a suspicion around, you know, a malicious insider that's doing something, you know, in the company. So they might be stealing intellectual property. They might be planning a sabotage of our systems. So these are capabilities and the major use cases. You know, there are other fringe use cases that I won't talk about. But I'll give you a concrete example that happened recently and you know, to the world at large. I'm sure you've heard of SolarWinds and SolarStorm is basically the incident, right, that happened. SolarWinds infected 18,000 companies, right? And you know, if you're using SolarWinds, you're asking yourself, well, am I infected? Is the hacker in my environment? So forensics was instrumental in being able to track and trace the evidence of whether an active hack was happening just because you knew that you were using a vulnerable software, you didn't know whether the hacker was in your environment or not.
I would imagine it was quite obvious, but obviously not. If you were being hacked, if you had malicious actors within your environment, but it's not so obvious, is it, Ian?
Absolutely not. I mean, in SolarWinds, for example, these were very, very advanced hackers that were very well trained in covering all their tracks. And so, because they were very well trained hackers, we had to do a lot of very deep investigation to piece together what was going on. So major companies that first discovered SolarWinds were able to publish these things called IOC, indicators of compromise. So they're essentially search terms, a program, a connection string, a site, a website that it was connected to. So the rest of the enterprise community would take these IOCs, these indicators of compromise, and they would use their forensics tool to search their own environment to see if they were impacted.
We're speaking to Ian Lim, Field Chief Security Officer, Asia Pacific at Palo Alto Networks. So Ian, what to do next? It feels as though we're always two steps behind hackers. How can then businesses work with digital forensics teams to improve their infrastructure, maybe, and security, and hopefully get ahead of the hackers?
Right. No, that's a great question. I mean, I'll offer two pragmatic advice, right? So most companies don't have enough forensics activity in their company to build a forensics team, which is very, very costly, right? You'd have to staff them, train them, et cetera. So what I recommend is definitely find a good forensics partner and put a retainer on them so that you can access them within 24 hours of any incident happening, in your environment. So, what usually happens is you make the call, so all the contractual stuff, that's what I'm saying. Get all the contractual stuff out of the way so that you can put boots on the ground, because time is of the essence when you're being breached. Get the retainer so that the forensics team can drop into your environment and immediately do their work. So that's my first advice. The second advice is really take a look at your current antivirus capabilities. These days, the next generation antivirus, what we call EDR, Endpoint Detection and Response, and they have some built-in forensics capabilities that's continually validating your endpoint. And not only are they doing that, they're saving some of the validation into the cloud. So, if a hacker's hacking your system, they can tamper with that system to the point where they, get to your cloud data, the forensics data that we have saved off in the cloud. So the recommendation there is to look at the next generation antivirus software that has some forensics capability. That would greatly help your organization.
Are you seeing, though, businesses, Ian, more aware of this and wanting to do something about it? I feel as though we've been talking about cybersecurity for some time, and it feels as though also that businesses can't even get their employees to change the password 1234 type thing, let alone try and hire an outside forensics team to keep watch on everything for them.
Yes, no, that's a fair question. I think depending on the industry sector that you're in, obviously the financial services industry is very, very aware of the impact, right? That a breach would have in their space, and there are also regulatory concerns that they're addressing, with their cybersecurity posture. But I think what I would say is this, right? Anytime you have a planned response is better than an unplanned response, right? So looking at just the wave of cyber attacks that's been happening, companies after companies, I don't think any company is thinking that they're immune to these attacks. So so the encouragement I have is really, the board of directors and the executives who are in charge of their companies need to take cybersecurity very seriously and need to have a plan. If you have a plan, at least you can respond in a very quick way, so that your company reputation, your business operations is not impacted. It's really a call to the management teams of these companies to say, hey, have a planned response. It's very important.
What about for smaller entities, Ian? I'm generalizing, but SMEs tend I'm so small, no one's going to care to want my stuff.
Yeah, in those cases, use a shared service. So you can't hire or build your own cybersecurity team. Therefore, there's a lot of shared services that catering to small businesses.
And more cost effective, obviously.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm. And so you have a shared resource and a shared skill that you're tapping into, and you're not constantly paying payroll towards. And that would be the recommendation there for the small businesses.
Ian, thank you so much for your insights today, and please stay safe.
You too. Thank you so much, Howie. Really, really enjoyed the talk.
Ian Lim, Field Chief Security Officer, Asia Pacific, Palo Alto Networks. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.